Ezekiel and chapter 33. And we're going to begin reading, once you get to Ezekiel 33, we're going to begin reading in verse 23, and we'll read through verse 29. 23 to 29. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land is given us for inheritance. Wherefore, say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes towards your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? Ye stand upon your sword, ye work abomination, and ye defile every one his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? Say thou thus unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed." Let's pray. Father, as we open the scriptures this morning, we're asking you to speak to our hearts in that way that only you can. Lord, help us to grab hold of important things out of this passage of scripture, and then help us to make some practical application of some truth to our lives as we draw near the end of the message. So guide us and direct us by the workings of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In case you haven't noticed it, there is a major disconnect in America that is very reminiscent of the days of Israel's captivity in Babylon. In the 12th year of captivity in Babylon, there were those Israelite leaders who were still in denial as to the reasons behind Israel's captivity in pagan Babylon. They kept talking about how God took care of Abraham and how they wanted that same kind of deliverance for themselves as Abraham's children. But there was a huge difference between them and Abraham. And the difference was this: Abraham was obedient to God's word, and they were not. They were not. And in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 25 and 26, the Lord tells Ezekiel to remind the Israelites as to the reasons they were sent into judgment. And there were four main reasons. And I want to point them out to you this morning. Now, the first reason that they were in captivity in Babylon was because they ate meat with the blood still in it in rebellion against God's command. You'll notice that in verse 25. "Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Ye eat with the blood." Now, this might seem strange in to modern people in America that God would bring this up, but to the Israelite of that day, God had commanded them not to act as the pagans in eating their meat with the blood. Now, keep your finger here in Ezekiel. If you have a bookmark, put that in there, because we're going to be continuously coming back to that. But take a moment. I want you to go to Leviticus and chapter 17. In Leviticus chapter 17, we see where the children of Israel were instructed in this matter concerning the eating of blood. Leviticus chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse 10 once we get there. Leviticus 17, verse 10. It says, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your sins, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it, for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of the flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." Now, this was a big deal to God. Since the blood was a picture of the life in any animal or human being, God would not allow any Israelite to eat a meat that had not been properly bled. Instead, that blood was to be poured out on the ground, offered to God. That was the way it was supposed to work. But the people of Israel, however, suffered from self-imposed long-term memory loss. They could not remember, or better yet, what I ought to say is they chose not to remember what God said regarding the blood. They acted as the pagan cultures around them who ate the meat with the blood. And as a result, the Israelite distinctive of not eating the blood was slowly lost over the generations. But let me tell you this, it was not lost to God. In Leviticus 17:14, we read, "Whosoever eateth it," that is the blood, "shall be cut off." That was still in effect. You see, back in Ezekiel 33 and verse 24, the Israelites desired what Abraham had enjoyed, but they refused to obey as Abraham had done. They had come to live as the heathen lived. You see, in Genesis 15 and verse 6, it says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But these people did not believe God, and they did not obey God. And so therefore, God said in effect, "Look, I put the pagans out of this land because of their sin, and you are doing the same things they did." The people of Israel were trashing God's commands as if they were inconsequential. Their rebellion was an abomination to God. And let me just say at this juncture that no nation who trashes God's almighty word will be a nation for long. Now, can I be honest with you? I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't already know. Just look around you and you'll see that America is now a paganized society, which has been played out over the past 100 years. Humanistic philosophies and secular lifestyles have pushed out the Bible and have pushed out the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to wonder, when will our judgment come? When will our judgment come? I'll tell you what, if God does not judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Israel for judging them for the same things our country is doing. Now, here's reason number two that they were in captivity in Babylon. Back in Ezekiel 33, verse 25, wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, and notice, and lift up your eyes towards your idols. Now again, keeping a marker in Ezekiel 33, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Because here we see what God has to say about worshiping strange idols. If you're familiar with this passage, you know that this is the passage of the Ten Commandments. And the number one commandment here given by God begins in verse 1 of Exodus 20. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Complete and utter disregard for God's commandments led the Israelites to worship strange idols and gods. And by comparison, idolatry is everywhere in America, because idolatry is more than just bowing before an image. We might not in America be, you know, forming idols of stone and wood and gold to bow down to, but idolatry is more than just bowing down before an image. It is an attitude of covetousness. I want you to see that for yourself in the Word of God. So turn over to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, and notice verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and notice this now, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness. Materialism, self-infatuation, worship of sports figures, worship of Hollywood stars, worship of music industry stars, worship of money has become the norm for the people of America. We put on our money the words, in God we trust. But for many in America, money has become the God they trust. And so the question is, can God continue to let us ignore him and his word while we worship ourselves and our stuff? I think not. I think not. Now, here's the third reason that the people of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. Number three, also in verse 25, again, wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes towards idols. Notice now, and shed blood, and shed blood. The people of Israel had shed innocent blood. Remember, if you will, commandment number 6 of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. And I remind you of a passage from the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, verses 38 and 39, where it tells us that the people of Israel had done this. It says they had shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. That's what was going on in Israel. But let me tell you this, America is no better. Nearly 60 million babies have been aborted in America since the Supreme Court's ruling in Roe versus Wade in 1973. Innocent blood has been shed in the name of progress and human advancement and convenience. Our land is bloody. It is bloody. And beyond the abortion issue, Americans have sacrificed their children to the God of this world by offering them up to the culture of humanistic, secular education and all that its anti-God agenda brings. The blood of innocence is on America. How long, O Lord? How long before the final judgment? And then reason number 4. Go back to Ezekiel 33:26. It says, number 4, the people of God sinned against God in defiling marriage. Notice it. It says, and ye defile everyone his neighbor's wife. This is the final abomination mentioned in this text. Ye stand upon your sword. That is, that's a, speaking of a refusal to exercise authority against evil works. It says ye work abomination. Working abominations became the normal way of life, and ye defile everyone his neighbor's wife. And shall ye possess the land? Marriage lost its God-given meaning in the nation of Israel. See, marriage was supposed to be a beautiful picture of the relationship of Jehovah God with his people. But that beautiful picture was mocked by the breakdown of marriage and the vows that God had given to his people. And therefore, the right to possess the land was taken away. The right to possess the land depended upon their obedience to God's commandments, not their numerical strength, not their stature in the world. It depended upon their obedience to God's word. And because of the sin of defiling marriage, the nation of Israel forfeited its right to remain in the promised land. Well, sadly, America too has now embraced a new definition of marriage. This new definition is in stark contrast to the marriage defined in the authoritative word of God, the concept of marriage. One man and one woman joined together in holy matrimony has been totally reduced into meaningless drivel. Fornication, adultery, pornography, divorce, gay marriage have all but destroyed the biblical idea of marriage in America. God sent Israel into captivity because she ignored the true concept of marriage. What about America? See, the big problem was that the Israelites had become a nation of hearers, but not doers of the Word of God. And America is following that same path to destruction. America has become a nation of hearers only, and now has rejected the doing of God's word. And God cannot sit by and allow nations to reject him and his glorious word without consequences. There is a reckoning to be had with God when nations abandon his truth, because no amount of hearing the word will substitute for the doing of it. And we in America need to take a long, hard look at the decline and captivity of the nation of Israel and draw some parallels. Our national response should be to turn to God in repentance. There is no other solution to our nation's condition. And that must begin with you and I as God's people. We're the ones who are called upon to take the first step. In 1 Peter 4, verse 17, it says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." And we're familiar with 2 Chronicles 7, 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." When it comes to repenting and turning to God, we as Christians need to set the example for the world to see, because there's no other way for our land to experience the healing that it so desperately needs. Back in July, on July 4th, we celebrated the 240th birthday of the United States of America. But when we consider what we see here in Ezekiel chapter 33, you have to wonder, how many more birthdays will our nation have? How many more? And that all depends on whether or not our nation will return to being doers of the word and not hearers only. And if we as God's people don't set the example in this, who will? Who will? And the answer to the question is, nobody will. And America, this land that we supposedly love, will continue headlong on a pathway leading to complete destruction. And so the question is, will you do your part? Will you humble yourself? Will you pray? Will you seek God's face? Will you turn from your wicked way? Will you be part of the solution to America's ills? Or are you going to continue to be part of the problem? We have a candidate who was in the presidential election whose theme is "Make America Great Again." And that's all well and good. But I'll tell you this, America will never be great again until America puts God first again as a country. And that will never happen until God's people put God first again in their lives and in their homes and in their churches. And my prayer is that it would begin right here at Pasco Community Baptist Church, and that it would begin today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the challenge to our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for the great country we live in. But when we see what is taking place in our nation, Lord, it breaks our heart. And we pray, Lord, that there would be a great revival, a great turning back to you and to your word once again. We realize that the hope of America does not lie in election results. You alone are the hope of America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that the revival, the turning back to you, the turning away from wickedness and ungodliness, and the turning back to you and to your word would begin right here in our church. And then maybe it would spread to churches across the country and maybe spread across our whole land, because we realize that's the answer. The answer is not in whether Hillary or Donald get elected. The answer is America turning back to you. And so, God, let it happen. Let it happen. Please, we beg you and plead with you, Lord, let it happen before you have to pour out your judgment upon us. And let it begin in our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number 425, we're going to sing as our closing hymn this morning. Search me, O God. 425.
Let's stand.